forum for frank talk about what people do for a living. Works Do.
Hello, and welcome to Works Do. It's May 9th, 2014, and this is episode number 3. I'm Kate Gase Walton. I'm the editor of Works Do, an online collection of essays and interviews in which people ponder their work lives. In this episode, I speak with Jane Hodges, a writer who's made some radical changes in recent years. Here's the interview. I'm speaking this evening with Jane Hodges. And Jane, thank you for taking the time to talk to me.
Thanks for having me.
So I wanted to start with what was going through your head when you decided to buy a 12,000 square foot elementary school in the boondocks, which is how you described it to me, but that's all I know about it. So let's start with that.
Well, a few years ago, I was having a bit of a midlife crisis. I had been working at journalism for a long time, and that's a career I chose to support my creative writing interests, and was spending more time writing about real estate and business than creative things I wanted to do. And I had a strange year of being off the grid as an executor doing elder care for two relatives who passed away. I had to become power of attorney for both my uncle, who had Alzheimer's, and he'd been kind of gone to everyone for a long time, but you know, that needed to be done. My father had been doing it. And so then I also had to become power attorney for my father. Mm-hmm. And both of them were on the East Coast. And then, and this is in the run-up to my book publishing. Wow. And then they both died. So I became power attorney for them. That took all of January. And then they both died at different times back East while I was supposed to be promoting this book.
Wow.
And freelancing. And it just was like a joke. I mean, it was like a karmic joke. And and also, it's like sort of like, professionally speaking, it's nice you did this book, but you're not really supposed to be doing this. Like, here's a pile of grief followed by a pile of cash. I just kind of felt I was able, I mean, I kind of had to take time off to resolve all their affairs. And I was able, being my uncle's executor was sometimes when you're someone's executor, you actually get paid, that you get a percentage of the estate to be the executor. Mm. And that actually paid better than freelance, not surprisingly. So I just focused on that for a year, and I really didn't miss what I'd been doing. And I came into a little bit of resources, got nothing crazy, but enough to where I could actually make a sweeping change if I wanted to. And I started thinking about what do I really want to do professionally, and I wanted to work collaboratively with other people. And I also was fascinated with sort of maybe inventing a place that's supportive for creative people and of a sort that I hadn't found on the West Coast, and a residency, artist residency of the type that I enjoyed going to back East. So I started looking at property and dragging my husband and a few intrepid friends on trips with me. And I found this school and I said, this is the place. So that's kind of what it was like.
And what was it about the place that made you think that or feel that way?
Well, I think one thing that gets complicated the older you get, and also just with the way technology and constantly being on and available and 24/7 has influenced people, is that you really actually need to physically remove yourself from your home environment and go away, not just on vacation, but also just to do the meaningful work and the work that requires concentration, especially if you're trying to do creative stuff. And so I'm steering away from your question, I think. You might have to reel me back in. But what I liked about this place was that it's really quiet. It's this tiny town. It's called Mineral. Mm-hmm. And the town has a fishing lake and a tavern and a post office and a small store, and that's about it. And it's really quiet, and it has weird, mysterious weather patterns that come off Mount Rainier, which is about 20 minutes away, and the little B&B. But it's really, there's nothing to do there. It's beautiful deer walk around the property. It's just really quiet.
And I should have said at the outset that you live in Seattle, right? Are you in downtown Seattle?
I'm in West Seattle, and so which is it's all the same. It's Seattle, yeah. but it's about 90 minutes from Seattle, and it's about 2 hours from Portland. And I know these are two cities that have similar dynamics in terms of a lot of creative population and a lot of people who might like to go away to have time, sustained time for multiple weeks, not like a long weekend, to work on their stuff. So I don't know. I felt like this was a good place for that. I also felt like just the town itself has shrunk in population. The area that it's in used to be driven by the logging economy, but logging has changed. And while logging still happens in that area, it requires a lot fewer people than it used to because they use few machines and such. So it used to be a town of 4,000, and now it's a town of under 500. And it has this school that's, could serve a much larger population, but they don't have that anymore. The other thing that interests me is there are all these smaller towns that have beautiful older properties that will never be used again as they once were. And so how do you find an interesting adaptive reuse, but that is, what's the word I'm looking for? That fits in with the nature of the community that you're in. I'm not saying minimalist quality, but artists are there waiting for us to all come down there with their blue hair and tattoos. But at the same time, having 12 or 20 people at a time kind of wandering around and going to the coffee shop. And I think that's different than having a rowdy event center and, or something like that, right, that could be done with the space.
Right. So where are you now in the process, and when do you expect or hope to have it up and running?
We are, it's this whole thing's been really interesting because when I bought the property, a lot of people would go about what I'm trying to do in a completely reverse order. They would form a group and they would explore together and have meetings and, but I thought, well, I'm going to buy the property and then I'll do it in the other direction. Mm-hmm. So I bought the property. I formed an organization that owned the property, and then which is just a one person LLC. So I'm an LLC. It's very exciting. And then I'm involved with another group of people, and we're forming a nonprofit to be the tenant that will use the property. And because I'm involved in both the LLC and I'm involved in the nonprofit, that creates governance issues. So we have extra lawyers and things like that. So it's taking longer than you would think. The long short is we're probably a couple years from being able to have the overnight residencies that are ultimately planned. Mm-hmm. But in the short term, we'll be having some arts events, just either day things or things that are in season where people can camp overnight. We have 5 acres and they can use the showers in the gym.
How have you, what's the ride been like? Like once you plunked down and bought this place, has it been sort of, in terms of how you felt about kind of smooth sailing, like, yeah, this was totally the right thing to do. This is a sensible thing to do. Have there been moments of sheer terror of like, what have I done? What's it been like?
There's been a lot of moments of sheer terror and a lot of wine has been consumed, but, not long after I bought the place, I was waiting for the phone line to get put in. There's no cell reception in the area. Well, there is, but it's not very good. And, so I was waiting for the people to come put the landline in, and I went to lunch in the next town, and I was also having some work done at the building. And, while I was gone, the guys doing work at the building kicked a water pipe. And when I came back, like everybody in town was buying water at the building. The former owner was there with janitor buckets. The guy at the quarter store had called the fire department, which brought some weird fan over that they use in forest fires. And then the dudes, they were doing crawl space work too. So I'm like, I don't know how you got a pipe. Like, anyway, I just thought, oh my God, it's a Three Stooges movie,
Right.
And, but it's also incredibly sweet because it's a small town and it's also the biggest building in the town. And so there are a lot of things that are funny about this for me because I've always lived in big cities and I've often been self-employed and people don't really know what you're doing when you're self-employed. You just come up with a short version and they're like, oh, she's a writer or, oh, she hides in her house or whatever. And I'm often in the back of my house or apartment or wherever I've been living, and nobody really knows what I'm doing or expects to see me or knows what my output of work is. And suddenly I own the biggest building in a small town. And so whenever my car's there, people will come knock on the door and ask me what we're doing. And I'm like, I'll let you know when I know, you know.
Yeah.
So it's been kind of heartwarming, though. I feel very fortunate that the former owner of the building, who lives in town, he and another local guy had bought it to preserve it from getting knocked down when the school surplused it. And they ran it for a handful of years. They were originally, it was the real estate boom, and they were going to fix it up and flip it to someone who wouldn't tear it down. And then the bust happened, and they did some other things to it, and they wound up giving it back to the school district. It just got too complicated for them. But this guy used to be a facility manager for a truck manufacturing plant, so he knows everything about the mechanics of buildings, much more complex than the school. And he's actually been incredibly kind and supportive of my idea. He's on my board, and he does work on the building, and he shows me all the time where, you know, he'll explain to me how the fuse box works as my eyes glaze over. But it's like a mitzvah. I feel really blessed.
Yeah.
So by and large, on balance, I feel really blessed, but I also feel like I feel like a mountain climber who's thrown my rope up and now I have to get up the cliff face, and I'm not a mountain climber at all in real life, but I've definitely bitten off more than I can chew, and I have to figure out, how to get to the goals we have. But
yeah,
but it's much more exciting than doing the same thing that you've been doing over and over again. And you know that the satisfaction is gone from that.
That wraps up the interview for today. Thanks again very much to my guest, Jane Hodges. Thanks also to everyone who's written an essay for Works Do. And finally, thanks very much to you for listening today. The next episode will be released in 2 weeks, and I hope you'll check it out. In the meantime, please let me know what you thought of the interview by sending an email to kate@worksdo.com, by posting a comment on the Works Do website, or by writing a review for iTunes. Thanks again, and bye for now.